The following message was recorded at the No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission.
Well, welcome, gentlemen. Glad you made it this afternoon. How many guys have eaten lunch? All right, you'd be the guys that'll be sleeping, right? The other guys there are hurting because their stomachs are hurting. So Crawford, I'm so glad you're here.
Crawford said it was okay to sleep, too.
Yeah, I heard that. That's right. Well, hey, you know what?
Yep.
He has different rules. Listen, I'm Chris Van Brocklin. I'm the director of No Regrets, which really means I'm responsible for the curriculum, and I'm responsible for the host sites and stuff like that. I don't have anything to do with this conference. You know what? Don't blame me. other than the speakers themselves, I was the one who invited those guys to come, and I'll take the blame for that. I am really honored, really, to introduce you to one of my colleagues in men's ministry. I have about 20 years or a little bit more than that experience in men's ministry in local church. Started as a local church men's leader, a volunteer. And I have experience that has grown and grown. And for the 2 years before I came here on board with Elmbrook, I was with an organization called Man in the Mirror Ministries. They are taking a field approach. In other words, boots on the ground, men who can come and serve you where you are, meet with you, cry with you, pray with you, and then also coach you and train you up. And when I saw what they're doing, I wanted to be a part of that. I think God has a movement there that I was very interested in. And so I came on board with Man in the Mirror Ministries as the Baltimore area director. And I served there. And one of the first gentlemen I met was the gentleman that served us as the national field representative. And that's our guest speaker today, Jeff Castilla. Jeff has 28 years of ministry experience in a local church. He has been involved, like I was, under the coaching and so on of the Man in Mirror people down in Orlando, Florida. And then he also joined the staff, and his role is to go all over the country and serve with these area directors. He came to my area, and we went around and called on a lot of churches. And since that point, we've had a very, very close relationship to the point where now we here at Elmbrook and No Regrets are partnering with them because we don't have a large enough staff to be able to reach every church in America, but they are placing that there. So if you will, we are outsourcing our boots on the ground and operating together, offering our resources and the conference and all that stuff through the men who are out there and being deployed. And I can't encourage you enough to get involved in that. In fact, here in this room or in this conference, there's a good possibility we will stumble across some men who have it on their heart and feel that they could be effective in their own community to be the go-to person. And that would be a place where you'd want to connect with the Man in Mirror Ministries. I'm sure Jeff will share a little bit about that, of his own story, but I'm just honored, really, to get started with Jeff. Let me just open us up, first of all, in a word of prayer and get God's perspective on all of this, and then Jeff will come on up and share with you how to reach men on the fringe. Father, thanks so much this morning, once again, to approach these subjects, which I believe, anyway, are a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual battle out there. And we need to open our minds and hearts to that. And that only leads us to you. And so we are asking you today to give us the perspective that you have. Because we can't see that spiritual battle, but you see it every day. And Lord, we want to know how to be able to operate in that environment. To be able to reach men. To be able to change men. To be able to change men and transform men. Not just their minds, but their hearts. And transform them to follow you and have a lifestyle of discipleship. So help us to do that, especially here as we learn about how to reach those men who are really out there on the fringe, and such an important resource that you've given us. So guide us and direct us in all of that today. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jeff.
What an honor to be at the No Regrets Conference and to participate with a pioneer in the men's ministry, Steve Sonderman. Had a great time enjoying a luncheon yesterday with him and several key leaders. My good friend Chris Van Brocklin, we have been co-laborers together for many years in attempting to disciple men. So it's really been a thrill to look forward to this occasion to join you guys. And I appreciate you being here today to join us live, as well as those that will be listening by audio later on. I've given you a handout, which has the bulk of what we're going to be talking about today. But we'd also like to make this as interactive as possible. I enjoy sharing this topic with many others, but I want to see its practical application in your neck of the woods. And so we'll have a chance to process that together. And I want you to be thinking about what is your greatest challenge in reaching men on the fringe in your vicinity. Because potentially that's what brought you here today, is to talk about the challenges. In the workshops that I personally attended today, we've seen interaction like that being very helpful. And so I'd love to also include you guys in that process. We talked about the partnership with Man in the Mirror and No Regrets Conference. We obviously are a place that has been for 30 years now attempting to see every church disciple every man. And I do have the privilege to travel the country and be with our field staff. I was in your state of Wisconsin this week, visiting with one of our guys who's at one of the simulcast locations today up in Fond du Lac. And it was neat to travel around and talk to leaders. And this was one of the hot-button topics for them. You know, how do we reach those guys who are disengaged, disconnected? So hopefully today we can address some matters that could be beneficial to you. Let me hear from you, first of all, about what are your greatest challenges. Just give me a short phrase or a way to describe the guys that you're trying to reach in that process, and then we'll try to apply this from some of the concepts we'll mention today. So whoever would like to share along those matters, what are some challenges you guys are facing, either individually in your own pursuits, or I assume that many of you are leaders in a church context or in the marketplace? What are some of the challenges that you're facing?
Passivity.
Okay.
The men's extremely busy schedules.
Others?
Distraction.
Those are some common ones that I hear around the country. I would cite one specific pastor in an eastern state as I was talking about this topic one day in an informal context. And I said, what's the greatest challenge you face in your congregation with these men on the fringe, whom I will call as spiritually disconnected men? And he said, those men just don't get it. And I hear that frequently from those in leadership positions out there. I hope by the end of our time together today, you will flip that coin and you will see the need for us to get these men. Proverbs 1:5 says, teach a wise man and he will increase in learning. As a men's pastor, we always challenged our own guys that the two essential qualities in a man's life is a humble spirit and a teachable spirit. Inside of every leader is a man. I would hope that you, in this process of going through a conference like this, absorbing information, evaluating inspiration, and contemplating application, that you will take a humble spirit and you will take a teachable spirit to all these hurdles that you and other leaders around the country. And we will look at these men through the eyes of Jesus and not through our own eyes, and to understand what his plan and purpose is in all their lives. Because to reach every man from a Lyle Alzado to a Max Lucado, hey, that's going to be some rocket science, as we say at Man in the Mirror. And we always challenge leaders to give 10 years of their life at a minimum. A lot of guys want to get into a leadership capacity with a short-term mindset. Now, there are times where you take seasons and you have things that will change in your particular realm. But it takes a long time to make a male disciple. And so you want to recognize that along the way. Well, a foundational issue for us at Man in the Mirror are what we call the five types of men. I want to get just a brief overview of that. There's actually another workshop by that very topic following us here today. But you see in your handout there, these men are listed according to where they find themselves in their spiritual journey. Some churches or leadership teams break down the men and their on their rosters, you know, by various classifications. We tend to find that you look at a guy based on where he is in his spiritual journey, no matter his age, no matter his various other components of his life. So we find that that first category of man is the natural man. He has the life focus of me. Then there's that cultural Christian whom we're going to really target today in our time. These are the guys on the fringe. They have a life focus of me and God. The third type of man is a biblical Christian or a biblical disciple who's yearning now to take steps in full surrender. He has a life focus of God in me. Then there's the servant leader in the fourth category who has the life focus of God in others. Me has gotten completely off the stove. It's been great to see the progress made with the biblical Christian or biblical disciple where he begins to prioritize God in his life, but he still has some selfish concerns and selfish ambitions that kind of bog him down from greater growth. So eventually, if we get me off the stove and we get focused vertically on God and horizontally on others, then in turn, we begin to see good progress made along the way. So you'll hear that fleshed out in much more detail in the session to follow. The fifth type of man is the hurting man. And he is the guy who's asking the question, where is God? So in our ranks, we tend to look at the life focus. We're going to talk about now this guy in the second category of man. That's that cultural Christian. That's the largest subgroup in congregations all across America. And in my international travels, sometimes you'll encounter that. Sometimes you don't. It just depends on what they're facing in that particular locale. I've got friends over in the Far East, for example, in the underground church. There's no such thing as a cultural Christian that loves this life more than the next. You've got it all on the line in cases like that. And so in that context, it would not apply. But here in North America, we see these fringe guys servicing quite frequently. Well, on the inside of your handout, there's some scriptural passages there. That's for independent study. We would encourage you to look at those over time and have a chance to really process, you know, the scriptural background. I'm going to be focusing on the practical side today. This is a workshop, and so I'll be glad to talk to you offline about that and some of these questions that may arise in your own personal study. But it is crucial. But I love what Pat Morley says, because he was the self-avowed cultural Christian. He said, I had a love for this life more than the next. Therefore, the me and God life focus. You know those guys. Their wives attend your churches, and it's difficult to even get the crowbar out to get him out for Christmas and Easter. And so they can frustrate you. You look at this array of issues and challenges you face as a leader, and sometimes you may agree with that pastor in Pennsylvania who says, those men just don't get it. Well, in reality, they don't get it. But today our focus, as a leader, with a humble spirit and a teachable spirit, is going to take a step back from those guys, and let's see how really well you know your players. Because that's one of the three common mistakes that churches and leaders make in trying to reach these guys on the fringe. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. I love to hear the men of God read the Word of God in unison. That kind of gives us a good, solid foundation, so it's spelled out there in your handout. If you'll read that for me in unison. 1 Thessalonians 2, 8. Let's read together. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. The big idea from me to you in this whole aspect of reaching men on the fringe, which I've given my entire life as a men's pastor to do, I want to see all five types of men reached. I've been engaged with all five types of men. But if you were to say, okay, Coach K, you could spend your time as the point man with which of these five types? I'll take two any day of the week. And it's been enjoyable to gain some insight through our experiences, and we continually try to learn. I learn from others. Traveling the country, visiting our field staff, now to 36 states. We've sat down with leaders from over 500 churches. You know, I gain insights, as I will from you today, on some of these hurdles that you're facing. But also, then how do we address those hurdles and hopefully see God turn them into solutions? But here's the big idea. To reach men on the fringe, you must give men what they need in the context of what they want through the ministry of hanging out. Pat Morley gets credited for the first half of that big idea. And then my friend Max Helton, who mentored me in that ministry of hanging out, he gets the secondary attribute for that. That's one of our key principles in our No Man Left Behind training. Chris brought one of the kits. This is an older kit here. But we have this contained that leaders can get. We have live conferences. I'll be hosting one in a few months in a southeastern state. So we travel the country to serve pastors, train leaders, and that No Man Left Behind conference really breaks down a lot of this. So this is a little bit of a subgroup of that. But you need to understand what 1 Thessalonians 2 is all about, as Paul is really showering his affirmation upon those Thessalonican believers and having a chance to say, hey, you know what? It was great giving you the gospel. But you know what? I also enjoyed giving my life away as well. So my question for you today, let's forget these guys for a second. Let's put them off to the side. Are you practicing the living word as equally as you are desiring to see them acquire a taste for the written word? We've already heard tremendous sermons today about scriptural engagement, and that is obviously one of the hurdles. But I found a lot of these fringe guys, the first approach should be through the living word. And to put the cookies on the lower shelf, sometimes you should go be Jesus to these guys. Not as a holy Joe, but as a regular Joe. And so that's crucial along the way. That's what we call the ministry of hanging out. I like these quotes at various ones. I'll be glad to give you proper attributes of these quotes, by the way. But some folks tend to have lightning rods if you use quotes from people they don't prefer to hear about. But the principles are crucial. You can embrace and enjoy someone without endorsing them. Make sure you hear that today. We don't want to endorse guys that have a hardened heart, which is one of the things that was brought up a while ago. All right, but we still can embrace and enjoy their company through that ministry of hanging out. Hey, somebody else said you don't have to compromise your convictions to be compassionate. When Jesus stood at the base of the sycamore tree, I don't see him inviting Zacchaeus down to go to a systematic theology class on Thursday night. No, he wanted to go to his house. In the Middle Eastern culture, that was so significant, the honor to be in someone's home and to be able to break bread together. And so there we see him practicing that ministry of hanging out himself. A missionary in Indonesia said this, it takes 1,000 cups of tea to reach a new acquaintance in our culture. I'm not asking you to go have 1,000 cups of coffee at your local Starbucks, but would you go have one cup of coffee? Would you look above a guy who's passive? Would you look above a guy who's dealing with distractions? Would you look above a guy who doesn't see the need? And above your frustrations, just sit down and break some bread together. Have a cup of coffee. Get to know them a little bit. That's an example in a practical way. A message of grace will attract people, a key evangelical leader said, but a culture of grace will keep them. Hey, is there a culture of grace in your men's discipleship venues? I just got finished listening to Stu Weber. I've enjoyed reading his books over the years. But there's nothing like being able to hear somebody in person for the first time. It took me back to January the 22nd, 2004, when I heard Pat Morley speak for the first time. I've been reading his volumes, you know, but it wasn't sure what his voice sounded like, number one. But number two, just his delivery style and his personality. And, you know, if you've never heard Stu Weber speak before, that was fantastic. But he was talking about affirmation. And he said, you know, the stadium era produced the whole accountability partners and stuff like that. We don't start with accountability. Much less with these fringe guys. That's step three in the process. They need to find acceptance. They need to find some affirmation. And then accountability will come about. And so a lot of times as leaders, we tend to forget those things because we're making progress. You'll hear much more in detail about this in the next session, which I hope you'll stay around for, about all five types of these men as they're making progressions on the journey to biblical manhood. But I hope there's a cultural grace in your neck of the woods. And then finally, if the message of the church is for everybody, we dare not create a church culture that is an obstacle to anybody. So let's go back to the list of these challenges, of these hurdles that you guys encounter. Sometimes it's up to us to go out to the track and take the hurdles away. And so a humble spirit and a teachable spirit gives us that opportunity to be involved. An earlier workshop I attended today about parenting adult children, of which I have two, the speaker's main thesis there was about, you know, our parenting styles, our parenting approaches, some very revolutionary concepts were being shared by Perry Brown. But how God fathers us, remember the disciples, when Jesus prayed abnormally, it wasn't typical to the Jewish heritage of their generation. And so they said, now, Father, teach us, Lord, teach us to pray. And there he began to obviously walk them through that specific process in the school of prayer. It wasn't the verbiage they were so much to acknowledge as it was the value and the opportunity to have a conversation with our Father. But the speaker brought out this morning, do we still sense in that regard, hey, you and I still need to be parented. Even though we are parents, we're still children of the Father. And so that unconditional love, that behavior modification versus heart transformation, which is a key principle for us with men, that also applies to parenting. Good application point there. So let's try to eliminate those hurdles as much as possible allow these guys to get plugged in. Well, the guys on our team know I'm the acrostic admiral, and I'm a simple guy, so it's an easy way to keep up with things like that. So let's take that word fringe and break it down and give you some basic components of what I see in my experiences over the years, and I'm sure others of you could add along the way. The letter F for me stands, obviously, going back to what we talked about before, their life focus. The focus in life of a fringe guy is me and God. Tony Evans says about that first category, man, the natural man, it's in the job description of a sinner to sin. You and I forget that sometimes as redeemed creatures. We look back and overlook that. And so the same thing would happen with these fringe guys. Hey, their focus in life. Yes, all these things are natural attributes that we see showing up. However, let's understand that happens to be the stage they're in. So we're going to reach these guys effectively, or we're going to stand back and stay frustrated and not having much of an impact being made along the way. The letter R, as far as these fringe guys, hey, they need a regular Joe, not a holy Joe. This is a way to get some interaction from you guys as well. I'm going to go around the room, and I'd like to hear a hobby or interest. Not in the spiritual realm. I know you want to be dedicated to God and love Him supremely, but I'm talking about from just a in your manhood culture, you know, hunting, fishing, photography, whatever. It can run the gamut. So give me one word or a phrase, a hobby or an interest. Now, you may be in a caregiving stage, watching for aging parents, so you can't be actively involved. But previously, or you'd like to maybe one day get back to that. So let's just kind of depict this in the room. Hobby or interest?
Working out.
Golf.
Philanthropy.
Knife making.
Handyman and tools.
Woodworking.
Okay.
Hiking.
Electronics.
Electronics.
Fishing.
Okay.
Baseball.
Okay.
Genealogy.
Good. That's unique.
Same thing.
All right, we got three golfers in the room. Ron Reed in the back, one of our teammates, is an avid golfer. Who was the golfer over here? Right here? And right here. So we got three golfers. If we were having this as a men's discipleship venue, and we've got a couple fringe guys plugging in with us, you know what the first thing I'm going to do after hearing their hobby and interests? I want to get the three of these guys together, and they can just start talking about their affinity for that great sport. You see, that's being a regular Joe and not a holy Joe. Sometimes when I go around a room like that with leaders, you know, I get those high, lofty spiritual goals, and I'm not trying to denounce that at all. But sometimes they just need to see the regular side of us. Okay? That we can go out there and just be a regular guy. For me, it's college football. And I engage fellows on the fringe by taking them down to see the Clemson Tigers play. It actually started out with a guy that was on the fringe in our congregation. He was busy. He traveled the country with his Fortune 500 company. And so he could not plug into one of our venues. And I thought one day, well, Phil, man, you're an alumnus, and I'm a fan. Why not, you know, impart to you at a one-on-one level what we've talked about in a group setting this week? So instead of looking at his busyness and staying frustrated, then we took advantage of 7 Saturdays. And our wives were best friends, by the way, so they went and spent some time together. They were non-athletic oriented. Oftentimes we would come back and have a double date, you know, for a meal in the evening to enjoy that side of the equation as well. But those drive time interactions really begin to allow me to invest into his life. And obviously that was at a point of interest for him. So consider that. You personally may not be able to identify, because that may not be your hobby and interest, but you're going to connect the dots with the average guys in the congregation, put fringe guys with fringe guys, and then some on the leadership team who also enjoy a round of golf. Hey, now there's a foursome waiting to happen. If I'm a leader, these three guys are going to be invited to join me in my foursome eventually. One, two, or maybe all three would accept that offer, and we'll begin to see. We get on the back now, we're making the turn, we're having to wait on some guys that are having difficulty on the course. And so then we begin to say, wow, it's just a beautiful day that God's given us. And hey, you guys know about the No Regrets Conference that's coming up? Yeah, my wife's been kind of needling me about that. I haven't really thought much about it. You know, I know you're on the inside scoop, so what is that all about? I mean, can I just kind of come in and just, sit on the sidelines and watch and observe? Absolutely. We'll accept you right where you are. In fact, if you're inquiring about the things of the faith, there's a whole separate sessions for that. So there's an example, you see, of just coming across and being a regular Joe. When I'm involved with guys like that, oftentimes they'll come back and say, it's a blast. We had a fantastic experience today. You're just a bunch of regular guys. And so we're interested in spending more time together in the future. But you need to find out what those hobbies and interests are. That's a connection point for them.
How do you get to that point?
We're going to come back to that. The third letter is the letter I, intentional. The three things I want to be remembered for one day is vision, passion, and intentionality. You've got to be intentional in taking an approach to reach these guys. If we sit back and stay frustrated because this mountain of the, information that you know creates challenges along the way, then we'll just remain frustrated. You know, we get frustrated at our kids and our parenting roles, right? But we will still show them unconditional love. So a culture of grace, let's make sure these guys know we're still going to be there intentionally reaching out to them. Needs versus wants. Give a man what he needs in the context of what he wants. Now, that's a threatening statement to make for some, especially if you're in the deeper end that Ron will talk about in the next session in this whole leadership process. You may enjoy in-depth Bible studies. You may enjoy gatherings that require a lot of homework and off-site. You know, we don't want guys to just have Christianity a lot. And, of course, those fringe guys don't attend those gatherings. I've been called to send them eventually your way, but there's going to be incremental steps that may take a lot longer time than you anticipate. And so let's give a man what he needs in the context of what he wants. We just identified three guys that need to go play a round of golf. Those three guys need to have an examined life. They need to have a scriptural engagement. They need to understand what it means to converse with the Almighty God through prayer. But you know what's going to start for me? On the golf course. The average leader sits back, sometimes in our ivory towers, and we look to those guys with a very condescending eye. And we say, those men just don't get it. And I'm asking you to look at these guys a little bit differently and to try to get these guys. And so golf or other entry points are available to us. Give a man what he needs in the context of what he wants. The letter G is not listed in order of priority. It would have been first, but according to the acrostic in the word fringe. Hey guys, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So it's all in God's timing. Some of this will not go away immediately, though God has power to change a man's heart. Maybe this weekend there's a bunch of guys that are attending or a few guys attending dealing with these kinds of things right here. Maybe God really grabs a hold of their heart and we see change starting to happen. They begin to take some steps. That's obviously possible. But practically speaking, it may be over a course of time. And then finally, they need encouragement and they need enlightenment. Stu Weber could not have said that any better with his acceptance and affirmation of points that he was making in his previous talk on masculine friendships. Well, let's go through these 10 leadership lessons and answer John's question about how does this happen and get into some practical aspects. Number one, before we accomplish what John is asking about, we need to start first off with a team roster. Now, I assume, again, you guys are in a leadership capacity at some level or you're here representing your leadership team, you're an aspiring leader. Hey, we've got to understand who these guys are. We've got to know our players, one of the three common mistakes the average churches are making out there. So let's turn that church directory into a team roster. We need to know our players in our locker room. I want to know their hobbies and interests. I want to know some other aspects and seeing that take place. Number two, we need to establish a point man. As you'll hear about the five types of men, we gave you a brief overview earlier. On that leadership team, and maybe you're here as a solo leader, whether you want to go back and begin to look for other guys to join you in that process, because it can get just to be an undaunting task flying solo out there in men's discipleship. So a team of guys around you, depending on the size of your congregation or the marketplace ministry you represent, if you have a point man for each of these five types of men, then that's going to give you much more balance in your approach. So who's going to be the point man over that second category? This cultural Christian. He's loving this life more than the next. It's got to be somebody that can relate to them easily. I run into this all across America. We have on a leadership team, four out of five guys are running deep in Bible studies. And maybe one guy is doing some administrative stuff or whatever. But there's very few people really addressing at the leadership level what's going on with the ones and the twos to talk about these five types. So we're disconnected. We don't know where they're thinking. And so it's important. I always had aspiring leaders come out of this category too, frequently. No, they weren't fully developed. They weren't ready to lead deep in studies. But I want to bring them to the table So we can stay, you know, tethered to what's going on. We can stay closely connected with the guys out there because that's who he's hanging around with. So who better than to be the pipeline for that to take place? And so that's a crucial aspect. Number three, determine what you need to leverage. We have a concept at Man in the Mirror called the all-inclusive mindset. What that simply means is maybe you're in a church that you're not intentional in reaching men. So you want to go back and you want to start a quote-unquote men's ministry. We have a different term that we prefer. It's called ministry to men. The difference between a ministry to men and a men's ministry, I've driven throughout the state of Wisconsin this week and I've ran into a lot of silos in some of these farming communities throughout the state. That's what ministry looks like on a lot of church campuses. There's a silo for children. There's a silo for students. There's a silo for ladies. And we want to build a silo for men. Well, we want to demolish silos at Man in the Mirror. We want to see all the silos go away. And let's have a fully integrated approach that has an all-inclusive mindset. Therefore, we leverage every interaction. You know what these guys will do? Yeah, they'll be passive and really wanting to grow in their faith. But they'll throw on a security badge, maybe, and be a parking lot attendant. Well, you know what that is? That's a leverage point. We've got to go discover how to make a connection with that guy. And so therefore, the fellow who's been working on the parking lot attendant team the longest, maybe he assigns the guys and he does all that from a delegated standpoint, he needs to become the chaplain, lowercase c chaplain, not capital C chaplain. He's basically gathering these guys together in a prayer huddle. Hey, fellas, listen, you know, I'm just going to lead us in prayer today before we get out here and get at our various posts to park these cars. And let's just, you know, briefly ask God to work in the lives of the people who will drive under this asphalt today. Something small, something brief. I'm not going to call on a fringe guy to say, listen, would you petition the Almighty God on behalf of the spiritual needs of those folks that are passengers in those cars? That's not what I'm talking about as far as a chaplaincy role. I want to go demonstrate. I want to go mentor. Not over the top, but just enough. But you know what's going to happen? One of those fringe guys is going to come back. And he's going to say, last week I parked cars. This week, I prayed on my own. I don't know if God really understood what I was trying to get across to him, but I was kind of praying on my own because I thought it was kind of cool last week. We were praying for the passengers in the cars. Now you're putting this into context. I'm not parking cars. Hey, I'm the front door. I'm the first contact with somebody who has spiritual needs. And it could be the guy down the street who's my buddy who's struggling in his marriage. Or it could be the family across town that's their wife and my wife are in the small group, but I do know their teenage daughter ran away last week. And so there's a heavy issue they're dealing with. So that's kind of what was on my heart and mind. Now, I'm not ready to pray in front of the rest of the guys today, but I just want you to know, last week, you changed my perspective when I put on the security badge. That's what I'm talking about from a leverage standpoint. You see, even though the small ways are beginning to cast vision to let these guys see, yes, we're busy. Yes, we're passive. Yes, we're disengaged. Let's start somewhere, real small. Get a little small win for those guys. And then sometimes you need to discover what you need to launch. These will be non-existing ministries. Maybe you don't have a chaplain of a parking lot. Maybe there's not a chaplain for the worship team. And there's so many different ways to do this. You want to interact with the other three subgroups in the congregation. You go talk to the children's ministry coordinator. How can we assist you? Yeah, we come and show up for vacation Bible school one week of the year. But what about the other 51 weeks? You need some guys on the depth chart as far as child care? There's not a church in America that I don't know that needs a better depth chart with children's ministry. We would encourage our guys to go serve with their wives in the nursery, rock some babies, have a chance to appreciate that particular aspect. Sometimes the time with their wife in a service capacity, maybe the wife's going to a deep end study, you know, the husband's disengaged, that becomes a neat conversation, you know, even in a service scenario. So how can we launch either individually with the guy or in some other capacity? Another way to launch would be with mentoring, you know, with the student ministry. Maybe the youth coordinator is going to remind us we need somebody to come and plug in at the mentoring level for those kids who lack a father. Earn credibility by getting on their turf. And John, here's the answer to your question. How we determine that would be through surveys. Every Father's Day, we would serve with the guys in our congregation. And it was a chance to just ask them some basic questions to give me some feedback about where they were in various aspects. And when you give a survey to a guy, you can put it out there digitally, and you'll have all your committee guys fill it out. And you'll end up with your 20% feedback. But you won't hear from the fringe guys. They have to fill it out on site. And so for us, it was annually on Father's Day. Now, again, that's 6 months from now, or four or five months from now. Maybe you do something quicker than that. There are other opportunities. At every men's gathering, we continually did that. So the guys that moved in on you know, the last Sunday in June would have missed that occasion. Well, I'm not going to wait 51 weeks to gather that. So it's not like only that purpose. But you got a no-compete clause on Father's Day. But we're going to ask them just some basic questions about where they are. And the hobbies and interests is going to be one of my five questions, because it's going to be a connection point. You know, what topics would interest them? When would they be available for such? Another common mistake practically that the leaders make. Hey, John, can you launch a study on Thursday night? Man, yeah, Thursday night works for me. Okay, great. We'll put in the worship folder, and we got room for about 8 or 10 guys. Yeah, we're good to go. We meet in my clubhouse Thursday night, 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Goes in the worship folder. Nobody shows up. Yeah, these guys are passive. Yeah, these guys have hardened hearts. See, they're not, those men just don't get it. Another church surveys that second category of men, and they find out that 6 guys would meet Tuesday morning at Panera Bread Company because their work schedule ties them up on Thursday night. Don't predetermine when they're going to be available. So even something practical as finding that out. So I'll pass this around. I'll be glad to get you a digital copy if that interests you. Survey your players. One of the ways to know what's going on. Hey, look to get a W in your next season of ministry. In our No Men Left Behind training, we talk about a ministry cycle involves 3 aspects. Create value, which is what today is doing, by the way. Thousands of men on this campus are having value created in their spiritual lives. As our ministry tends to focus, we're not folks that put on catalytic events. We do leadership training events. We're concerned with the next 51 weeks and you guys. Because what's going to happen at the leadership level is going to determine where the guys are going to be headed the next 51 weeks. Tragedy would be for a guy to come today and have value created and return to a church that has no leadership represented here or some other type of good, not that it's limited to this, but there's not a leadership team. There's not even a leader, you know, walking around. The church is really unaware and unwilling to address it. And so the guy's going to just flame out. He is going to die on the vine. He may tap into some things with others in the community. You find that from time to time. But this is a perfect scenario that assuming, how many of you guys, there's fellows from your congregation here today. I assume that's the case. Okay. How many guys are here from your church, Steve?
30.
Bingo. So, Steve and his leadership team, how they progress to capture the momentum that has been created today is going to be crucial moving forward. And so that's a subject for another day. We can certainly follow up with you about that, depending on where you are geographically with our guys and connecting you there. But where to get a win in this next season of ministry? So a create, capture, sustain. In my case, the way we operated was to take I'm a former high school coach, so we just followed the sporting seasons. You know, there's 3 months with every season. So here's the fall season. So September, October, November, that was the fall kickoff for men's discipleship. The winter season was December, January, February. So we're right here at the end of the winter season for us. So bringing our guys in, you know, good timing now to get them ready for the spring season. March, April, May. And then the summer. In the old days, we did summer workouts, some one-on-one stuff, some mission trips. But then enough momentum got created over time that guys want to continue meeting in groups in the summer. So learning to get a win in your next season. Utilize direct effective resources. Obviously, there's tons of vendors here that have things on display. You know, we have lots of things in our toolboxes that our guys take with them. But make sure you understand this. The process should trump the product. The process of discipleship should trump the product. I was with state directors from about 10 states recently, and we were with another organization very similar to our friends here at No Regrets. And one of the key questions coming from the audience of state directors, hey, what's the next product line getting rolled out in 2016? And I was brought to address that particular topic with these leaders is to reverse that process. Or to reverse that issue so they can focus on the process. Yes, we need good materials. We're all about what's the best practices and resources out there. But that's really the easy way out as a leader, is to go plug and play the latest and greatest kit. You know? So if you've gone through a series of resources and you're here this weekend looking for some next ones, that's a good thing to do. But to go from good to great, you better put a process in place. And that's what we're all about with the No Man Left Behind training. That's a 10-year process that will allow you to work with guys, all five types of guys, and specifically, as today, we're addressing this second type of man. Pat Morey says this, go where Jesus would go and do what Jesus would do. Hey, that's basic, that's one-on-one, but we overlooked that. What did Vince Lombardi come, amidst a bunch of Packer fans, I'm assuming, what did he do at day one when he came to Green Bay? Gentlemen, this is a football. Boy, wasn't that a greatly developed locker room speech from the astute coach. He took those guys back to blocking and tackling. This weekend, a trophy will be given in his honor to hopefully my Carolina Panthers tomorrow. Sorry if you Bronco fans or others that are in different scenarios. But they're going to give out a trophy in honor of that man tomorrow that stood up in a locker room in Green Bay, Wisconsin one day and said, gentlemen, this is a football. Ended up winning the first and second Super Bowls. So, obviously, fundamentally sound. Lombardi was known for that. So, we can't overlook that. Jesus would go to the passive guy. He would be considered the busy guy who has a small margin. Knowing a man's distracted, he's still going to show up and love him unconditionally. The guy that's disengaged, who doesn't see the need, none of that's going to be new to our Savior. So, if we're to become like Jesus, let's make sure these guys, especially on the fringe, see that from our perspective. I've already talked about the living word versus the written word. Make sure that's demonstrated in a balanced approach. And then recognizing the significance of a prayer huddle. I was mentored by a number of men that really valued that, what it means to become a man of prayer. And so while I enjoy the coaching aspect and having you go home and get a team roster together, surveying your guys, putting a strategy in place, focusing on the process, hey, there's one simple idea I would give to you is to go back and start praying for your guys that fit this category right here. And pray that God would give you his heart for them. Because it's easy to get frustrated. Don't feel guilty about that. We've all been there. Okay? God, it's very draining to be in men's discipleship. So if you're an aspiring leader, know what you're trying to get into along that process. But you and your leadership team, the greatest thing with that roster you can do is to pray for those men, specifically those guys on the fringe. The last item there are some proven strategies for Father's Day. I know that's a few months off, but a good leader is always thinking ahead and looking to be involved in that process. Those are just some simple strategies that give you some ideas of what that looks like. Bottom line, we want to help churches create an environment where the Holy Spirit inspires men to engage in life-on-life discipleship. And I would trust that as you head back into your one-on-one interactions with people or your church at large, the 30 guys that Steve has brought with him. Steve, how many are back on the church campus that didn't attend today? How many additional guys are involved? Like you got 200 men at the church, in other words, so there's 170 would be the answer.
Another 100 men in the church, probably 150 more or less.
Okay. So for those 30 guys to go back and infuse some of these fringe guys, you know, I hope they'll smell some smoke on their clothes when they come back tomorrow for God drawing them through the fire. And then what happens for us to engage those guys? What are some ways, maybe some fringe guys that are here today that really go through some spiritual awakenings? Well, who better than to go back and deliver that message than those guys? So, 30 are here, that's great. We got 120 more to make up 150 guys. That gives us that opportunity to be able to see that process move forward. Let's take these last few minutes to answer any questions as a follow-up, just to give you clarification, and or if you want to go back and say, okay, I understand the concept, but now help me with this. How would I really be able to address the guy that's disengaged? Yeah, Tim?
How long do you give a guy? How much time do I invest in one of those people?
Okay, that's a great question, by the way. And there's two answers to the question. Theologically, how long would God give him? But practically, how much do you have in your own margin? I made myself available to fringe guys, but if I didn't sense God working in their life, I moved on to the next fringe guy. Occasionally, I would check back in with him to see what his interest level might be to a group event or whatever it may be. So it really takes a lot of discernment and guidance. It's not a hard and cut answer. But the thing you want to avoid is no men left behind, including the fringe guys. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get over and hang out with the guys who are so committed and are so active that we overlook these fellas. So look for something that is an on-ramp back to what's going on. Good question. What about Steve? Let's use you as a case study. So for those guys who've done out of 10 today, unavailable, disinterested, or a little bit of both?
Mostly disinterested.
Okay.
Just need to get them engaged.
Sure. So there's stuff that's going to be on the website. So if I were leading your congregation, you know, and again, let's go back to the golfing analogy. One of the 30 guys that attends here this weekend, he's playing golf with his buddy. That's in a non-threatening environment. And he says, man, you know, I know you've been struggling with your marriage. You should have heard this workshop leader. In fact, they've placed it on the website now that you can really download and listen to for free. That's an entry point. That's helping to capture the momentum. The ripple effects of the conference of these 30 can go back and share. I find some public forum. You know, if it's the next large men's gathering, or if your pastor is open to having these guys share, you know, even tomorrow, you know, I hope that some of your churches are sensitive enough that somebody's going to get up, at least a leader, and talk about, hey, we had 30 guys go to the No Regrets Conference, and to others of you that maybe weren't available or weren't quite sure, hey, guys, hey, we're looking just to engage with you in the future. And so if you have any questions about the conference, we certainly want to, you know, mix and mingle with you and make you more aware of that. And there'll be other opportunities coming up. We don't want that guy to feel like he was a failure because he didn't show up. But we also want to be able to say, okay, we're not above them. How can we yet still plug in along the way? So I would leverage that. That would be an example. Those 30 guys is to go back and to say, how might God use you to infiltrate the ranks, as well as the community at large, much less the congregation. See, some of these fringe guys, they're out in the community, much less the congregation. Well, listen, it's been great to hang out with you for a little while, and love to stay in touch with you. On the back of the handout is my email address, coachk@maninthemirror.org. Be glad to follow up with you and answer any personal questions that you may have. Appreciate Chris allowing me to come and be a participant here, and I'd love to close out in prayer with these guys.
You got it. Go ahead.
Why don't we stand and do that together, shall we? Father, thank you for the privilege of talking about this topic. There are fringe guys in every church represented here today. It's great to hear that one of these churches has got 30 guys attending. I'm also interested in the 120 that stayed home, either disinterested or unavailable. Give us, Lord, patience. Give us perseverance to work ahead, find connection points, to be a regular Joe, not a holy Joe, and then over time to see you do your work according to your sovereign plan. Thank you for these men. I pray for three things in their personal lives. You'll give them a rock to stand on, a brook to drink from, and a tree to be shaded by. And all the men of God said.
Amen.